That's a great special. Thank you.
Erin might be late. She's doing the jet. She didn't know if she'd be here right at 7 or not.
Oh, go up the other way.
Council to order. This is our regular meeting, June 10th, 2019. It's a little after 7. Can I have a roll call, TV?
Mm-hmm. Mayor Casper?
Present.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Here.
Councilmember Cook?
Here.
Councilmember Jay Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Here.
Councilmember Aaron Olson? Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Quorum is present.
First on the agenda is the approval of minutes from our meeting, our last meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the minutes from 4-8-2019 general meeting.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
I'll second it.
Oh, second it. Second from Jake. It's already started. So, yeah, moved by Cook, seconded by Jake.
Okay.
So it's been moved and seconded to approve the general meeting minutes from our last meeting, May 13, 2019. All the minutes have been distributed. So I know we had talked about it in our work session. They're also displayed up there on the board. Is there any members of the public who wish to provide corrections to the minutes? I see no corrections from the audience. Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
The item 12 should read Councilwoman Olson's resignation as of the general meeting June 10. It reads June 13, so it should be so it should be corrected to June 10, unless it was intended to be the strategic planning meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
We have that for
got it.
Okay. Okay, are we ready for the question? Looks like it.
Councilman Joe, did you read it again?
Yeah, I got it. Okay, the motion on the table is to approve the general meeting minutes from May 13th, 2019. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Caspett?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay. Okay, request for agenda changes. I had no request for agenda changes. Is there any other council comment on the agenda? Okay, without objection from anybody from the council, I'll ask for unanimous consent to accept the agenda.
Okay.
Agenda is set. Okay, first on the schedule is, or first on the agenda is committee number five, committee staff reports. That would be 5A, marine facilities. Ben, do you want to give a brief introduction?
The only thing that I wanted to really comment on my report is that I put in that I was concerned about the angle of the new ramp that we installed down the floats, and it does create a tripping hazard. It's got about an inch gap between how it sits and how the float sits. The float is actually the problem, not the ramp, the way the float sits. So I put a cone down, and it's the way it was before. I've talked to a lot of the fishermen down there. It was always like that. So I didn't know if anybody would have any questions about that being in there. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think the way that it's set up is good, and I don't think the way that it attaches to the float is adequate, but it's what we have at the moment, so I'll keep an eye on it. If anybody has any other questions about what I put in my report, I'd be more than happy to talk about it.
Okay, any questions?
Just one question. Do you have an idea how it can be attached better?
It's the float. The way that it could be attached better is the old float or the old ramp. There's a plate and it folds up, and the old floats have 8-inch lag screws that hold it down.
Mm-hmm.
This one didn't have that plate, so the actual skip plate or whatever that is on top has 13 2.5-inch screws.
Oh, okay.
So there's no way really to, you know, if I put bigger screws, it would create a tripping hazard on top of the plate instead of.
So a different plate?
It's a different design. Whole design.
I'll go down
is different.
Look at
that's
it.
Kind of
okay.
A problem.
Right.
But I'll keep an eye on it over the summer. And this should be our last summer having to use it, as long as the ferry system does what they need to
change. Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Ben? Well, thanks. I'm I know we were delayed on getting those floats out, but I'm glad it didn't get out on the 18th. So I had worried calls from people.
if I could have one more second.
Oh, yeah.
We also, Elm modified his boat. So prior to this year, we would not have been able to get the floats out on a lower tide. But in the future, we would be able to get the floats out on any tide based on the modifications he made on his boat. He can push it now instead of being on the side and maneuvering it. He can now push it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, if that matters.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, any other questions for Ben? Okay, thanks, Ben. And for the record, show that Aaron's. Welcome, Aaron. Okay, next is our financials. Do you want to quickly go over those? Or I know we all have to initial them, but
I don't really have anything to say particularly about the reports from this month, just we're getting near the end of the fiscal year, so there's a lot of spending and our final income coming in. This will be adjusted when we move the National Forest receipts with this NCO that is up for public hearing tonight, but I'll adjust to $45,000 of encumbered funds to offset the National Forest receipts that we received. Otherwise, I didn't really have anything of note that I recall. I'm supposed to do my quarterly report, I think, tonight also, but I don't have anything written prepared to go back this morning. I did want to mention that in the mail that I picked up this afternoon, we got our review services final printed copy from our little mini audit that we did. So that is done. And I have a PDF version of that also that I'll distribute. There's not much of note to say from it, except that they didn't have anything to say bad.
That's
good.
Yeah, it was very good.
And I thought there was one, I can't remember the other thing I was going to mention this evening. But once I kind of, I didn't have time to pull together some of my thoughts, so I'll put out a little written thing that we can post up to, and I'll send that around this week.
Questions for Phoebe? Comments? Okay. Tom, you're next.
Good evening. I don't have a report to present, but I do have a couple of items to discuss. Guardian Flight contacted me today and is looking to come to the community to do a presentation to show off their new jets and talk about their program and hold a community barbecue. They'd like to know if the council supports them coming and making a presentation, and if you had a preference in the month of July, I would give them a date. Otherwise, I'll contact them tomorrow with any direction they get from the council.
I saw this early, and I thought it was fine. I was a customer of them earlier this year.
Well, you definitely have to.
And I did buy their insurance.
Okay, so also tomorrow, DEC is providing a Skype conference for looking at projects and programs that would provide alternative sources of water for the community. We have three council members who are going to be attending that already, so thank you for responding. It's from 3 to 4, and then afterwards I'll write up a summary and send it out to the full council. The last item I have has to do with the Front Country Plan. Sarah Doyle, the planner for the park, sent me an email and said they're going to do a public event on June 18th. The time has not yet been set. The purpose of the presentation is to talk about transportation, specifically looking at whether shuttles are feasible for MPS employees and or guests between Gustavus and Bartlett Cove, quantifying aspects of future parking demand in Bartlett Cove, technical aspects of alternative transportation and active transportation, such as bike lanes, electric fleet upgrades, plug-ins with opportunities to spread peak demand by taking advantage of nighttime low energy use within the community. They are offering to come and speak to the council on June 19th. It would be sometime in the morning. Is that something the council would be interested in receiving?
Sure.
Is there a particular time to start or finish that council would like?
Can I email you?
Sure. I think I have a few days back to them. So maybe by Thursday. Okay. That's all I have to present. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to address those.
Well, I just wanted to mention about the PFAS teleconference. I was contacted by Shannon Wilson while you were out, and we coordinated that. They had called basically reporting that they had worked on some solutions for the folks who were testing above action level. Some were choosing catchments. Some were choosing the filtration systems. She didn't come right out and say it, but said that they prefer catchment options, even though it will require bulk transport of water at times during dry spells, and was exploring ways that we might want to partner with them about providing water. And I told her, you know, we got to do this RUBA study first, and once that's done, then we got to figure out the financing, if it's even feasible, and blah, blah, blah. I went through all that stuff, and she said, well, I still want to have a conference call with you guys and DEC and risk management and all these other folks and see what we can do. Maybe we can make things move faster. I don't know if that's going to... I guess we'll find out tomorrow. But anyway, that's a little more of the background of that, just for your guys' information. Anyway, okay. Anything else? I'm sorry. Anything else for Tom? I probably should have jumped in right there. You guys go first. Anything else for Tom? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now we have next item up is our public comment on non-agenda items, and I have two people showed up, signed up. Julie Howell, would you like to address us?
Thank you, Council, for letting us express our views and concerns. My concern tonight has to do with the City of Gustavus adhering to the Cooperative Resource Management Agreement with the State of Alaska regarding our beach on either side of the dock road. Attachment B of the agreement specifies where the access boundaries are to be placed, and since the agreement was signed by both the City and the State, the Council has pushed back these boundaries on the west side from the boundaries that were designated right next to the dock road to the area where the bench is located on the west side. My understanding is that this decision was made because the Council felt parking was needed, particularly during the ferry days, until the permanent parking area behind the restrooms can be built. I was told that this decision is a temporary arrangement, and I'm sorry to say I did miss the meetings where you all discussed that. My concern is that a reward or privilege once given becomes a right to those receiving the reward or privilege, and I suggest that once the effort and work to put in the barriers has been completed, it will be of little concern to the City to change the barriers to what was stipulated in the agreement with the State. So folks will become used to the new arrangement and will be unwilling to give it up. My question to the Council is this. Are you eventually going to adhere to the Cooperative Resource Management Agreement we have with the State? And what do you perceive to be a possible timeline until you pull back the barriers to match the agreement? So that's my concern.
Okay, any questions for Julie? Comments for Julie? I guess I'll sort of answer your question.
I'm just going to say my concerns are very similar, so you might
want to
just answer after I read mine.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead. Bye, Annie.
Do you want to have
okay.
Yes, super kind of. When the Gustavus Beach Plan was finalized by a vote of the City Council after months of work and public input, I was relieved and thankful that the City and DNR finally had a vision in place to protect the beach area for current and future generations. I expected that well before tourist season this year, there would be signage and barriers in place to carry out the agreed-upon plan. Not seeing those and tourists already arriving, I started wondering what was up. In asking, I found out that the council has made a change in what will happen on the west side of the dock. Instead of only a walking trail, there will now be motorized vehicles allowed for those unable to walk to the bench, plus some parking allowed for additional vehicles. I had looked at the last 6 months of council meeting minutes and couldn't see where there had been a discussion or vote on that change. My understanding was that this would not be permanent, but that the council was not ready to spend the money on a hardened trail this year. It sounded like the parking to be allowed was over a concern that there wouldn't be enough parking for vehicles in other areas. The cooperative resource management agreement did not appear to reflect these changes. Because there was such a slow, thoughtful process to reach the plan that was voted on, as well as a lot of letter writing and public comments, to then go and change this plan without recorded public input seems very unfair. There are many issues to consider and discuss when it comes to the beach, such as camping, parking areas, fire pits, but no parking on the west side of the dock was a firm decision. It would seem fitting and right to complete the hardened trail to the bench as soon as possible and follow the plan that was put in place. Any decision otherwise should be allowed full public input and be shown as a vote of the council and agreed upon by the state. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments for Annie? No. In response to both, I we have been thinking about this for quite a while. Like Annie had mentioned, it's been a slow, deliberate process to this whole thing. And I know too when I voted to approve this management plan that it was my understanding that we would provide alternative parking areas for people before we shut off parking on the west side. And because of the way our budget cycle goes with capital improvements, I guess I wasn't really aware of this when I voted to approve it. Apparently, we have to do a study and design first for this parking thing, and so that has been submitted, and that's going to be worked on to do this parking study, design, whatever. And I feel real uncomfortable. Shutting off parking on the west side, especially on ferry days, and now we have ferries four times a week. I have public safety concerns about traffic and no place for people to park down there, and I don't want to be responsible for having somebody hurt down there because of the traffic patterns. And until we provide some alternative parking for folks down there, I just can't see cutting off that west side for parking at this point. And I don't know what other council members feel about that, but I think there was, when we discussed it before as well, is there's this there's some concern for providing access to people who are mobility impaired to that bench. Apparently, there's a lot of folks who like to go out to the bench, enjoy the quiet, and they're not mobile enough to get down that path to walk that far by themselves. Until we have a hardened path that's wheelchair
Accessible.
There's some folks on the council who don't feel good about cutting off that access to folks. Anyway, that's kind of just my first blush reaction, and we do intend to follow through with that management agreement. It's just that we need some time for our budget processes to work to make that happen. And anyway, that's just where we're at. Wait, Susan?
Yeah, I support you in not cutting off people's parking until we can figure out how to provide for people's parking. So, but one of the things that you might have also missed in meetings that have been going on over the last couple of months is there's this issue about if we're going to have rules with fines, how we deal with the enforcement issue of that. And we've been struggling with rewriting ordinance around that for a couple of months now, and some of us are thinking this is a much larger topic of law enforcement in general for the town. And so we're not wanting to get ahead of us in terms of figuring that piece of it out, because it's not going to do anybody any good to post a sign that says no parking, fine up to whatever it is, $100, and then not enforce it. So are we going to get a village public safety officer? Are we going to, you know, how we're going to deal with the court system and all that is a really large issue that we've been struggling with a lot. So that's one of the slowdown things that's getting in the way of immediate implementation of this, and we're just slowly trying to figure it out. And hopefully we're going to have some more conversation with people in the town about how to go forward with this.
Senator, a question for Judy Powell. Would it, in your view, then be better to do nothing on the west side with regard to barriers until such time as we can do a you know, a hardened boardwalk? In other words, I think part of the idea was to put some barriers, you know, or signs up, keeping people from going beyond the bench and so forth. Perhaps some partial barriers down there that would then be moved closer to the road, or maybe up to the edge of the road eventually. But is it with your idea that we'd be setting up something that people would get accustomed to and would not want to change, is it better not to do anything on that side of the road until we can do the boardwalk and close it off to parking at that time?
I think my concern is strictly that once those barriers have been dug and put in the ground, you know, is would the city be willing to pay out to have those moved back to where the agreement says they're supposed to be? We absolutely have to have barriers, and I think we've all seen that this week with the camper that went into the park down there. And that's what we've been trying so hard to keep off the beach. So we need something in place ASAP. You know, I'm sorry that the parking behind the restrooms is such an ordeal, and I realize it takes a lot of planning and engineering to figure that one out. And I hope that would be a solution in the future. But no, we need something in place. Like yesterday.
So you would like us to move ahead, build the boardwalk or whatever we do down the hardened path down there and set up the barriers at the edge of the turnaround?
If you set the barriers not just at that end there where the bench is, you're going to have them along that quote-unquote path that became a road to the bench.
Right.
Or you're just going to have...
And that's a lot of construction that would have to be removed, in other words. So you would prefer that we just move with all deliberate speed to build the access and set up the barriers. Is your purpose?
Okay. I think right now number one is just the barriers and the signage that says no vehicles on the beach, because right now there's nothing. You know, people come off the ferry with their campers. I don't know where that group with the Winnebago, I don't know where they got the information where they could park.
So they did get on the ferry today and leave.
Question, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Question. So, I'm supposed to form this in a form of a question. So, in relation to your question, also, are you aware, we have discussed this at work sessions, and because we do have the management plan to work from, and that is our goal to achieve, so kind of that might answer some of your questions there, that that's our ultimate goal, but getting there will take some steps to get there, but that we are still working towards that, and I think that from what I judge from the council meeting work sessions where it's been discussed, that is still the goal, but we don't have an actual timeline on that management plan. There's not a, you have to have this done by, and so we're trying to take the first steps of barriers to get there. So it sounds like we're all on the same page, hopefully. Yeah. It's just going to take a little more time than we all hope for.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what do you envision for parking on the west side? I mean, if you envision the west side parking is going to take care of the whole problem on the dock road, I mean, are you envisioning 20 cars being able to park over there? I just don't have any idea about the numbers of where, are you going to allow them to park anywhere on the beach? On the off the road that exists now, or just to the bench, or I don't have an idea of what you're thinking here.
Point on the map that we talked. Well, I was just going to actually ask a question: is if you had time, I think Tom might be able to find some time this week to show you the plan. Do you have any time to meet with Tom? That it was kind of, it's not, it's where the proposed barriers, current proposed barriers would be, and so. We don't want to get too, you know, this since this is public comment, but we'd be happy to do that with you. I'd even be happy after the meeting to show you that proposed parking.
But do you have any idea how many vehicles we're talking about in that area?
How many fit now? I mean, you know.
But I don't know
three or four
how far you going is my question.
All right.
Are you going to the bench? And
No. I think I've seen three or maybe five cars there ever.
You're talking about three or five cars. That's not going to solve a huge problem, and that's not a lot of parking. So, to me, following the plan as it was, creating that parking trail makes a lot more sense, and I don't understand why it's not done at a public meeting with meeting. Yes. I understand that it's done at a work session, but there's no minutes for a work session, so...
I guess I can. It's because that we're still working towards what you're talking about. It's just we're trying to take it in steps because we can't accomplish that particular thing right now, and we want to get something up right away. I mean, that's the, right now. So that's all I can. That's my take on it anyway.
I have another person who wants to make a comment. John Howell.
Thank you. I apologize for just not getting my work done. My comments have to do with the proposal, which I believe the council is going to look at tonight for a department, I mean a committee, to look at the notion of making the rookery a department.
We will be taking public comment when we take up that. All right. Any other folks want to comment on non-agenda items? Okay. Moving on. We don't have a consent agenda today. First up is item 8A, FY19-23 NCO, our fiscal year 20 budget, introduced in April.
Karen, can you show the agenda packet first?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Can I get a motion, please?
Sure. Mr. Mayor, I vote to approve the ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for establishment and adoption of the budget for fiscal year 2020.
Second.
It's been moved by Cheryl, seconded by Brittany to approve our budget for FY20. At this point in time, I don't think I'm going to make, I'm not going to summarize the budget. I think we've discussed it several times. It's been published now for 60 days. But I am going to open public comment on this. However, I do want to give GVA first crack at addressing the council on this. GVA, you're welcome to proceed.
I have a couple of handouts that I'm going to write if I give them to you now.
Sure.
One of these, I guess, Deb, at your last meeting, there's seven of them here. And then this handout, so this is an answer to a question that was posed at the last meeting, so she just gave that to your information. And then this is a little copy and paste because I don't have a computer at home. A little old school. But that's a blow-up of the budget proposal that was in that presentation that was presented to you, the marketing presentation. So I was able to blow that up on the computer so you could see it a little bit better. I'm Robin Jones, and I am representing the GVA. So I'll tell you a little bit about me. I have a little teeny tiny business. And a few years ago, I decided to become a member of the GVA. I'm going to read this so I can be succinct and not forget anything. So I joined it for four reasons. I knew it had a website, I knew it had a brochure, I knew that it had a map, and I knew that it was a way for me to get to know other business people. So for me, when I was told that a membership fee was there and I wanted to be a member, then I paid my membership fees, which I thought were reasonable and appropriate, and now I was a member. I found that the Disciple Services, so if you look in, on that one page, it tells you what the benefits of belonging to the membership are. And I found that to work for me. So I've had many calls from people because they see my name and my contact number in that information. And I've also benefited from other businesses who do lodging. When they overbook, then they contact me. So I picked up. So my little business is doing all right. So those are the valuable. Those are what's valuable to me. And I won't read those. Those are in front of you. Okay, earlier this year, they asked me if I would like to be on the GVA board, which I said yes, which I had no idea what this was all about, okay?
It happened.
It was really good because that right there, that says, what does the GVA do? I've learned that not only does it do those four little items, but there's all those other services that it provides. So I've learned that the GVA's primary goals are to promote and support gift-aided businesses, to boost the gift-aided economy, to enhance and increase visitor experience, to enjoy a more stable year-round economy, and to plan and prepare and market for the summer season rush. So I'm also learning that it takes a lot of money and a lot of work and a lot of planning in order to provide these quality services and benefits. So at this time, GVA is desiring to work in cooperation with the city of Fifth Davis. We are shifting from advertising to marketing. And so the city of Fifth Davis has been given a copy of the prepared marketing plan, which includes a PowerPoint presentation, which I think we have. I'm not sure if
we do.
Even want to do that. We might not even want to do that. But it's there if you decide you don't have anything to do in the world. But what it does is it breaks down for you the budget breakdown. And if you look at that enlarged picture that I gave you, you can see that much better than you can see on that little tiny page on the website. This market plan is voluntarily prepared and submitted by Natalie Festus. We're calling her our content expert. She's been really helpful. Natalie was trained by and did market research for a top market firm. Since 1979, she's had extensive and successful experience in the United States and abroad. We appreciate her volunteer efforts on our behalf, and she's a wealth of knowledge and ideas and expertise. So with this marketing plan in mind, we would like to respectfully request that our budget be increased according to what the market plan says. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Question, is the marketing plan still a draft? Is that right? Can we have some input on details on that?
After
strategic plan is issued, the marketing plan will be revised to increase priority for the things in the strategic plan. But the strategy overall will stay the same until the marketing coordinator has enough experience to develop their own marketing plan to increase revenue, and then the strategy will change. But typically, marketing coordinators do not modify strategy. So we envision this is the plan that they will stick to until the marketing director comes up to speed.
I didn't have any problems with the strategy, and I like a lot of the plan you wrote. There are a few paragraphs in it. Well, what really irked me was the paragraph on fishing and hunting regulations, which I think you don't need in the plan at all, and it's garbage. I think it's something that probably got incorporated into your plan from the Dunleavy administration, and it's totally out of whack with our values and visions. So that was the one thing that irked me particularly, but I thought you could just do without that whole paragraph because it really doesn't relate to your marketing plan, which is great otherwise, I think.
Yeah, so
I could discuss that with you offline.
Because it is their marketing plan.
I'll give you the background on that because I think it's clear you weren't aware of the issues that were behind some of that stuff, like particularly the issue between the state and the National Park Service for the preserves.
I think the bottom line is that they would like to transition it away from an economy on a resource that's dwindling. And I don't think that you should have your entire economy based on tourism, based on availability of fish that might not always be that available.
I can go over it with you offline about that.
Yeah, and
that.
So if you want to change the wording, but still keep that, because they do have to prepare for changing the policy.
Any other questions for GVA?
I do have a question.
Okay.
The original GVA request to the 2020 city budget was $30,000. And this shows the city tax revenue and whatever city tax revenue is like $29,250. So that makes sense to me. Then there's these project-specific endowment funds. Is that like a regular endowment fund request? Or
we were going to do it that way, but then we were encouraged to just roll it into the bed tax amount for this year because I guess you're doing new forms for the endowment fund and there's new requirements. And in order to keep the schedule, we needed to get the funds so that we could find the equipment, the training program, get people started with the video production. And so there's an entire schedule. So that was one of the reasons for rolling it into the bed tax money, so we could get it earlier and start procuring things. Or they could. I'm just helping them.
So the GVA is wanting to increase your budget request for the city 2020 budget to $29,250 plus the endowment fund amount. So I got a calculator in my pocket.
$12,116.19 is those two lines added together.
$12,000? Okay, so that would be.
We already given them $20,000 in the budget, so that's $9,250 plus $2,865.86, which is what they were going to request from our endowment funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that answers my question.
Any other questions or comments for GVA?
So we're still looking at the 2018-19 fiscal year that we're currently operating in. And so that's not in this particular package because it's from last year. But it was one where we had requested 25 and then we were able to, you approved 20, but it's put us kind of in a little pickle because we had, we set our budget up to be able to do that. So now we're having to look at funds for next year if this gets approved, or when this gets approved, to go back to pay for some of the things that we're doing that were on our budget proposal and our plan for last year. So there was, you know, a $5,000 chunk there that it would be really nice to be able to have that, to be able to finish out this year and finish up the things that we have planned to do. Because right now, we're, some of those things are going to have to be scrapped. And I think we've mentioned that before. But, so we'd also like to consider that out of this current budget, this current fiscal year, in addition to what's going on up to the 2020.
Okay, so let me get this straight. In addition to what we're talking about here for implementing the marketing plan, you want an additional $5,000 on top of that.
From last year's budget. This is for the
year. Well, we're talking about 2020 here. We're talking about next year's, setting next year's budget.
Right. That is correct. But I'm talking about current fiscal year that ends on June 30th. Because we were short $5,000, and that's significant for what we have to do. So I need to, we'd really like to have to consider that too. I mean, I've mentioned it a couple of times before, but I would mention it again and say that would be really helpful to be able to finish out this fiscal year.
Comment, no.
I don't want to bugger up next year. But if you keep in the two different fiscal years, maybe that would be.
We're about to close out our fiscal year right now, so yeah.
We'd like to close ours too, and the red. But.
Very important.
Go ahead.
I don't have a question specifically for him. I just wanted to make a comment. So I want to
Well, that'll be on our table for deliberation. I want to continue with a public comment, make sure I get everybody who wants to comment on our budget to get their comment in. Any other questions on our FY20 budget? Go ahead.
I'm just a little confused about where I want to speak. Could you just help me clear up what the E personnel amendments to Title III personnel? I want to speak about the city administrator position. Where should I speak?
In terms of the budget for the city administrator, or what the
changes the hours.
Okay, that would be budget, and that would be appropriate for you to give your comment now.
I apologize for not understanding your
story. No, that's fine. No.
I don't understand.
Well, that's why I was asking you. I was trying to bring that.
Thank you, CalPERS, for helping me along. So my name is Artemis Bonadilla, I want to talk about the change of the position from a three-quarter time to a full-time position. And I want to start my comments by saying this has nothing to do with Tom. I think Tom's doing a great job. And when I speak about what I'm talking about the position, not the person. So I want to make that really clear. I remember when this job was discussed in the beginning, you know, it was flown as a three-quarter time job, and everyone was very confident. I remember I wasn't quite so confident, just simply because I know that, you know, it's just like a road. You build a road and they fill it up with cars and you think, we've got to build another road, or a bigger road because it's full of cars, and you build that road and it fills up with cars. You know, it's not ever going to change that system. And so you have a person who has a certain amount of time in a position, and darn if you don't fill up that time and give him or her lots to do. And so then it's like, oh, we have to make this person, give this person more time. So you do that, and often what happens is then that person is still very busy and doesn't have that. So that, well, now we have to give that person an assistant to help get this job done. And it just can roll on and on and on. I think there's never going to be enough time for most people to do their jobs in their positions. I don't know hardly anyone who is working in a city or state or federal position that has enough time to do what is asked of them. I wonder about allocation of time in this case. I don't know. Well, I remember when this started, and I thought this is going to be an interesting situation because for the first time, the city council is going to have someone they can pass things off to. We never had that before. You know, the city council had to, the members had to kind of figure things out for themselves, and I know that that wasn't always the best. It probably all, wasn't always pleasant for people who run the city council. But now we have a position that a lot of things can get moved to, and it's possible we are moving too many things to that position. I don't know that to be the case, but I do think that it would be only human to hope you could move a lot of things to that position because you're citizens, you have jobs, you have families, you don't have a lot of time. But one thing that I have come to be aware of, and I was going to speak about this, I was just getting kind of started in the process of speaking about this to some city council members and things when this came up with the budget and the you know, changing the amount of time in this job, is I wonder why, I started with this with the daycare center when there was a talk of a citizen committee to work on this, and our city administrator was put on that committee automatically, it felt like. And I was kind of like, well, what's he on the committee automatically for? And then I've been coming to the GWAC meetings, and again, that Tom's there as a city employee, which is, of course, taking a fair amount of his time, you know, a couple of hours at least sometimes. And I got to thinking about the administrator, and to me, the administrator is there to share expertise when needed, not to be on every citizen committee. I mean, to me, we get citizen committees, and I understand that you have a city council person there, which I think is great. I don't know why we need two exactly, two city council meetings, but city council person and a city employee. But to me, you know, Tom should be doing his work. Or the work of the administrator, while the citizens figure out what they're interested in pursuing in whatever subject field they're in, whether it's the daycare or the library or the beach committee. Now, the beach committee was not a city committee. I know that, but it could have been a city committee. You know, so I think the citizenry should be doing what it can wants to do and to bring that information to you all. And then if you have questions, it goes to the city administrator. You know, if you have questions about this or that or the legality or something we need to run by our lawyer, then that goes down. But having our city administrator, you know, in every meeting of a committee doesn't seem like it's a great use of his time. And at the same time, we're saying he doesn't have time to do his work. So I'm wondering, I don't know how he's allocated. I don't know how you make the decision to pass something off to him. But I know that everybody, you have to prioritize. And supervise, he responds to you and to what you do. And it needs to be prioritized. I just would like to think a little bit more about how we're using the time that we have from this person. As opposed to automatically changing that position, which was flown as a three-quarter time position, with a lot of confidence. I remember all the confidence. Oh, yeah, it's not going to be that big.
I need you to wrap up your comments.
That's it. Thank you so much. it's just something I wanted to say. Thank you.
Any questions for Anonymous? No questions? Okay. Any other public comment on our budget for FY20 and decisions? Okay. Okay, we're done with public comment. It is now on the now on the table for discussion. I believe who moved this?
I did.
Oh, you moved, so you get first crack at
it. Oh, good. Lucky me. First, I'll address the GVA line item that when we received the draft marketing plan, I'll call it, I was happy to see that it did answer to a lot of the things that the council has been asking for since I've been on the council from GVA, so a lot of the kind of benchmark kind of things. I'm not sure that's the right term. I'm not a marketing director. A lot of the data kind of things and a lot of marketing timeline type things. And while I also believe that the GVA has had that kind of in their own workings for a long time, but the council hasn't seen it. And so I was really happy to see this, and I feel like it's a great thing for us to be able to have some backup for giving public money so we can go to this and say, this is why. And so I would support or plan to make a motion to increase that line item to the 32 whatever amount it was that they're asking for this year. And that's why. So.
Any other comments? Oh, go ahead. I saw you first.
Okay. I'll just add to the same kind of line item. Thanks for you three for coming. Thanks for Robin for the presentation. That was really solid, kind of put us kind of on track where we can think about that. Thanks to Nat for helping put together the marketing plan. And also thanks for Jim for staying after on the last meeting and talking with Tom. I think whether you and Tom realize it or not, the way Tom articulated that to us later was kind of an epiphany for me, kind of the difference between how GVA was seeing marketing and advertising different than I think we all understood. So that I think just that conversation really opened the door for a lot of this. So thanks for that extra effort, Jim, especially. I did look over the plan, and it looks like there's portions of it are kind of an aggressive schedule, which you know, is kind of unknown territory. So there's some fear in there that if we put money towards it, what are we really going to get? But to me, at least having this plan, even if you can't hit those benchmarks, I would support trying something different. And when we were going to spend some money and we're not going to get exactly what the plan shows, but I think it puts us on track where I've got a lot more trust in that we're going to get something. And especially as that builds over the next couple of years and as we get more of a chance to maybe, comment on that plan and work together, I think it's really going to be a good thing for the long term. Then my only kind of negative on that is I'm a little concerned about asking for money to fix up for last year when we're kind of moved on for that one. So I'm not supportive of that last piece, but everything else I am so far. You got to try. That's all I got on that one.
Okay, so you're next.
I do have a motion to advance when the time comes.
Well, I want to make sure and get around the table and make sure all council members have a chance to say their piece. So,
okay.
Do you want to say something in general, or do you just want to propose a motion?
Well, in general, thank you all for coming. I know it's just a really crazy busy time in your profession, and so Gustavus is really lucky to have ambassadors of the Gustavus brand willing to volunteer their time and try to help advance our economy. So thank you for
that. Really appreciate it.
Mike, did you?
I didn't have anything to add at this point.
Yes, I agree with everything.
You okay? Okay. You have talent?
Thank you again. The one thing I saw in the plan that I don't have an answer for, but I still wanted to say this, is I absolutely understand your concern about having GVA do things for non-members in the business community. However, and I understand that, you know, you're not going to get people paying for it if other people are getting it for free. But I do think that if the city is putting public funding into the GVA, that there needs to be a wider range of businesses involved. And again, I realize that you're trying to do that, and I don't have an idea for how, but I do think that that piece is really important, that we try to widen the amount of businesses who participate in the GVA. And I think that this marketing plan could do this. I think just this list of benefits to memberships, if you can get that out to the rest of the business community and have them see that you've got this new marketing plan, I think that could hopefully as well. So I think we're moving in the right track. Other than that comment, I think that Jake put everything pretty perfectly. I'm in agreement with the whatever 12,000, but I agree with the 5,000 from last year that's already been done.
Well, I did think of something. I wanted to say that one thing, or a couple of things. They've taken steps here to respond to some things that the council has wanted them to do for a number of years, you know, to have a better plan, so it's clear what they're going to achieve, and they had some concrete things that were going to build the attractiveness of Gustavus to visitors. And I particularly liked some of the stuff about improving the appearance of Gustavus, you know, dealing with eyesores, advocating for things that were going to make our community more attractive. And I think that's the kind of thing that we can partner with them on to get done. I look forward to us being able to do that. I've long felt that their membership should be carrying a lot more of the share of their budget. As it is now, I think they're asking us to pay almost 90% of their budget. I would feel better if it was more on the order of 50%. But I think it's probably worth, you know, for me, setting aside my concerns about that, about what's fair and so forth, to see if this plan can work. I think if they are successful in implementing most of what they're intending to do in the next year, that will make us or future councils feel better about funding them at the kind of level they're asking for. So I am inclined to change my view from earlier about supporting a change an increase in their budget. We will have to decide how we balance the budget, but I think we actually have more income than we have budgeted. We can expect quite a bit more income than our budget calls for because we, as of June 1st, already had more than our budget called for. I mean, our budget plan for next year in income by a lot. So I think we can probably increase that accordingly and still show a balanced budget.
Any other comments? I just wanted to have a few comments. I too support this budget request. I reviewed the marketing plan. I think that's exactly what this council has been asking for many years. I thought it was well thought out and gets GVA down the path of improving their marketing, and I think it's going to pay benefits not just to GVA members, but the community as a whole, because folks will be I envision where folks visiting because of this marketing campaign will be spending money and time in more than just GVA sponsored businesses. They'll be I don't have a problem with spending tax, you know, our taxpayer dollars on this. I think it'll pay benefits for more than just the visitor industry, I think. Anyway, with that, I believe somebody has a motion, maybe. There's two competing motions, maybe.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that the council revise the FY20 budget appropriation to fund the $32,000 request of the Gustavus Visitor Association, the $116,19.
Second that.
Okay, hold on.
I'm changing it up to their $32,000 request.
32 something, right?
Yeah, I dropped the something.
Oh, you dropped the 116.
That's $16.19.
Let's call it 32.
Call it 32.
Okay.
The original request was for 30.
Okay.
Was it seconded?
Okay, so it's been moved by Susan and seconded by Jake to increase the budget for GVA to $32,000 in our FY20 budget. Any further comment or question or comment on this amendment? Okay. Can we have a roll call on the amendment, please?
Councilmember Cantamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Ms. Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Caspit?
Yes.
The amendment passes 7-0.
Okay. On to we have a main motion now. It does increase GVA budget. Is there any further discussion on this main motion? I ask two hands. Go ahead, Susan.
I have another amendment to offer when the time comes.
Discussion?
My discussion is about her amendment.
Okay. Go ahead and make your amendment, Susan.
Okay.
There was no further discussion on the main motion.
Okay, this is my second motion on the budget, the FY20 budget. I move that the FY20 budget be revised to retain the city administrator as a part-time position, 0.875 FTE, or up to 35 hours per week, as originally hired.
Can you switch back to the 8A1? There was
second
on the bottom.
You second? Okay.
Okay, it's been moved by Susan and seconded by Brittany to make a change in the budget to hold the city administrator at 0.875 FTE or up to 35 hours per week as originally hired. Maker of the motion has first crack at discussion.
I'm holding in my hand a position announcement that hired the city administrator at a level 2 that specifies his assignment as a part-time position working a minimum of 20 hours up to 35. And changing that to a full-time position, this 20 budget draft proposed making it, I believe, 0.875, something along those lines. No, 37 hours a week. Making that change is not a trivial thing. I think all of the I have maybe 20 documents on my hard drive from last year of all the conversations we had about trying to figure out what was the right city administrator position, what was the developing the job description, and was it going to be one level or two levels, and all that kind of stuff. That there was a lot of canvassing and conversation that went on to specify and compromise between not hiring a city administrator and hiring a full-time administrator, of setting the cap and saying it was a part-time position. I think that there are many people in the community who feel that if that was to change, they would like to and have a say rather than us just doing it. So.
So I've gone back and forth on this myself. I really appreciate the way Artemis put it tonight. That helped me. I think that, you know, absolutely prioritization needs to be happening on what the administrator's hours are going toward. And the idea of meetings, I do agree with that. Maybe it could be a council member, maybe not even a council member sometimes, depending on what kind of committee it is. But it shouldn't necessarily automatically include the administrator. I also really liked what Artemis said. It's not a discussion about the person. This is a discussion about the position. I wasn't a council member last year, but I did attend enough meetings and heard the discussion, and I got the feeling, in addition to, yes, we wanted to cap it and keep it in this part-time position, that it was this huge unknown that, you know, we've never been at this point. We've never had this employee. How could we possibly put a number of hours and be absolutely correct on that? So here we are, and we've found out we might want more, and I like what Artemis says, that, yes, we're going to keep filling that. I think where I'm at this point is I'm in agreement with the amendment, and I think that more citizen I think it can encourage more citizen involvement, and it can encourage more council involvement. I think both of those are so very necessary for the type of government we have. So I'm in support of this amendment.
I saw Mike first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I won't be supporting it. There is just too much work that the city administrator needs to do, and I think the city administrator is tending to work full-time, which is not legal for us to allow them to work more hours than they're being paid for. It may be that we need to manage his time differently if there are situations where we don't need him working on one thing. There's plenty of other stuff that we're asking the city administrator to do. He's doing public works stuff, so a lot of road things. The beach, there's PFAS stuff that has come up. And unless we're willing to really cut back on some of the stuff that the services that the city is doing, then I think we need to pay the city administrator full time. And I've been mayor at a time when the mayor was the city administrator also, so I have a feeling for the number of hours. When I was doing that, we weren't doing anywhere near as much stuff as we're doing now. So for that reason, appreciate Susan's view, but in this case, I'm not in agreement. Thank you.
Okay. A few things. It was, like Susan said, like Aaron said, there was a lot to get us to the point where we would even hire one for part-time, and that discussion included, we got to be careful of what it might morph into, but that we know it probably is going to morph. And I think this, as a budgetary process, is the right place to do the increase. But if we need to fix the PD or something later, that's going to be more of a public process to see how we're going to get there if that needs to happen. But I think as far as budgeting for it, I think we should budget for it. And I think that when we do have that discussion, as far as increasing our work, we need to change the position description. There's a lot that we can say that supports that increase. I mean, the position has done just a ton to professionalize the council, and we've been really fortunate, and we've had some really responsive mayors that have put in a lot of time. But it's always a risk that you know, we just don't have that makeup of a future council, and we're going to rely on the city administrator even more. And that kind of ebbs and flows, and that's why I think the budgetary place is a good place to put it, where, you know, for this year, all that's going on, I think we do need some extra hours. Maybe in future years, maybe we won't, but I doubt it. Like, I mean, you know, with the job creep and everything else. So I agree with what Artemis says about trying to manage it. But also, even, you know, intuitively knowing that, that even myself, anyone, you know, we dump a lot on the administrator because we have to sometimes. I don't want to take away the mayor's discretion for managing the time, too. And if it makes sense that the administrator is in some other meetings, if those meetings inform what he's going to have to research later, sometimes that's worth those couple hours. So I don't want to, you know, get into those details without really knowing. But I still, the point stands that I think we all need to do better with how we try to, you know, what we ask for, I guess. But as far as the amendment, I don't support this, and I do support the increase of time, at least for now.
I've been back and forth on this one a lot because I agree that you know, well, it hasn't even been a year that we are, you know, changing this position. But back at the time when we decided, I remember the mayor at the time was like, well, we don't want to put this limit on it because we don't know what it's going to turn into. You know, and I remember her saying that specifically, and in my mind, I knew exactly what it was going to turn into. You know, it's like there's a ton of work right now, and again, and that's the part that's been sticking me. Right now, I feel like our city administrator is working, or I know, I've been told by numerous people, not just him, that he's working over the hours allotted, and I don't think anyone should do that. And again, if we're asking him to do that, that's wrong. For one, it's illegal. And although we rely on him to, you know, cut us off, no, I can't do that. He needs to learn how to say no as a city administrator, I guess. I don't know. But if it's taking it over. So I feel like right now, again, I know one argument is if we do it now, then, you know, it's going to be that way forever. But that is not the way it has to be. Every year the city council is given the responsibility to look at the budget and see what needs to be allotted. And for this year, I feel like it needs to be allotted because he's already worked more than the time. But I definitely feel like it would need to be looked at, well, starting right away on what he's working at and if we really need that every year from now on, kind of thing. So,
can we have the budget comments on that?
I just want to make sure that we have everybody.
Sure.
Brittany, do you want to?
Yeah. First of all, we all really appreciate you.
Yeah.
And I also have gone back and forth on this a lot because I think I feel the way we all feel about all of this. But we have a lot of irons in the fire right now, and Tom is working overtime really hard for us. And so I do support the budget increase, because I don't want to limit his abilities to continue working hard for the council. But
sorry, we're
done. Yep.
I just had a question. Is this actually a budget increase?
Or sorry, hourly.
Yeah. Okay. But maybe that's what Susan was going to say.
I would like to say a few words about this. And I do remember that agreement we made when we first came up with this. And it wasn't just for the administrator's time. It was a cap on the entire administrative functions time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was three positions included in that cap.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, we have a wonderful treasurer,
mm-hmm.
and we don't get as much time of hers anymore that we did back then when we made that agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that some of those duties that she did back before she was not available, before she was available to us all the time, we realized back then, I realized when we hired Tom that some of those duties that Phoebe was doing would have to be picked up by Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and now she isn't available to us as much as we thought she was. And so I have, you know, in my mind, the budget that we put together, that was put together over many hours of work sessions and many meetings, recognized the fact that we didn't have as much of Phoebe's time anymore, and had to be picked up by Tom. So therefore, I am against this motion. I'll be voting against it. Phoebe wanted to make a budget note, so I'm going to let Phoebe make a budget note at this point.
That was it.
Thank you.
When that was flown, I was working 15 hours more a week than I am right now.
Mm-hmm. And I figured that's what you were going to say. That's mm-hmm. why I said it. Anyway.
Could I ask a question of the treasurer?
Mm-hmm.
So then, what's the cost difference between the budget last year, all administrative staff, and the budget this year?
There is no good year because we had nobody for the first half, for the
right.
first 2 months of FY18, and then we both started at entry-level wages, and then Tom didn't start until September, and then I didn't cut back hours until October, so we don't have a good...
What about like a month? Like, could you look... I don't know. Is there any way to...
It's $5 an hour different.
So the same amount of hours, it's just shifted from you.
2.2 for the fiscal year.
To him.
Yeah.
Okay. Your question answered? Okay.
So on the fiscal side, you guys are kind of missing the point that I'm trying to make, so that's on me. It's not a huge difference in cost. The difference between having Tom be at 37 hours or having him have a 35-hour contract is only $4,319. It's not the money. It's the people not being able to say that they support having a full-time administrator before we decide we're going to pay a full-time administrator. That's the point, that the people deserve to have a say that I'm trying to make. It's not the issue of how much money it is, and it's not the issue of how hard Tom works or how great he is and how much we appreciate him. It's that are we going to have a government that responds to what people tell us they want? So that's end of comment. Yeah.
Isn't that the point of the public hearing? And we did have the people, we did have one person say. So, I mean, that's kind of how we do it, I think. That's what the public hearing's about. So they do have an opportunity to say, we don't put these things out to folks in our form of government. Kind of, we have to read, I guess I'm saying, we have to read the public's concerns, take them into consideration as we make the final decision.
Wasn't the fire chief put to vote?
We
don't have public comment now.
This is on the table for the council's discussion. I'm not entertaining public questions at this time. Any other comment? With that, I'm calling for the question.
Question on the amendment. Right?
Question on the amendment. No, I'm talking more. That right there.
Okay. Councilmember Aaron Olson.
No.
Councilmember Jake Olson.
No.
Councilmember Taylor.
No.
Mayor Caspit.
No.
Councilmember Cannonmore.
No.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
No.
The motion fails 1-6.
Mr. Mayor, a different topic on this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need to balance the budget. We've added $12,000 to GBA. Like the treasurer's recommendation as to whether we could, say, increase our anticipated sales tax. It looks like we had a budget surplus of just over $6,000, $6,085. And if it would be appropriate to add an expectation of $6,000 to sales tax income, since our sales tax income this year is run quite a bit more, not even counting the penalty, the unusual penalties that we got, if we discounted those for next year. So is there somewhat, what do we need to do, Madam Treasurer, to balance our budget with that increase?
Well, what we've done so far to balance is to put in a line item for prior year cash balance. That's how we balance.
So we could do it via unused revenues from this year, just increase that?
Our budget for retail tax is $370. As of May 29th, we're at $388,000. So... We could
easily take it out of that.
We could add it there, too. We've just always been conservative on our projections.
Of course. But we do need to, when we publish this budget with the state, it has to be balanced. We can't show a deficit in our budget.
No.
So we need to come up with $6,000 from somewhere to $6,000 more, because we were showing a surplus of $6,000, I think. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
I don't remember those things.
Bottom line, it says net income is $6,085.
I have $949.
Oh, it's that last column then, is the, maybe I'm looking
that
at the wrong.
Budget.
Okay, I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong column then. So what we need to add essentially is $12,000 somewhere in revenue.
Yeah.
So can that come from carry over from this year?
Yeah.
And so
presumably.
Which
I mean,
line?
I won't know until June 30th. Presumably, yeah. And then we can always do an NCO to adjust that if that's not feasible.
Okay.
Yes.
I guess I'd have to know what to do for an amendment, and I have to write that out.
Do we need an amendment, or can we just direct Phoebe to take it out of...
Well, we have to make a change to the budget. We've made one change to the expense side, so we need to make a change on the revenue side to balance the budget.
Okay. Just we would increase it out of sales tax revenues from this year?
Yeah. So...
Or prior year cash balance.
Prior year cash balance?
Mm-hmm.
So that's there's your motion.
Then I move to amend the budget to increase the prior year cash balance by $12,000.
Seconded.
It's been moved by Mike and seconded by Susan to increase the revenues by $12,000 from prior year cash balance. Any comment?
Just a question. We were showing a carry forward of 67,000 last time I looked. Is that still approximately where we're at with that?
As of May 29th, we're at $207 minus 46. So that's 161. And we'll still have one more payroll.
Okay.
And then we're still spending a lot too, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments, questions? Jake, did you?
My only comment was, if there's going to be any other amendments, we should wait in case we have more money to transfer.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions? Roll call on the amendment to increase revenues by $12,000 from prior year carryover balance.
Okay. Mayor Caspit.
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Cook.
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson.
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore.
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, I think we're ready for action on the main motion.
Ooh.
Our FY20 budget as approved or as amended.
Okay. Councilmember Cantamore?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Mourner?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapet?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes, the amended motion passes 7-0.
We have a budget.
Wow, we have a budget. Thank you, Phoebe.
Thanks, Phoebe.
Thank you, guys.
Indeed.
Okay. Now we are on to item. Oops.
Sorry, just can we take a short break?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, let's take a break. I'm sorry, we've been here for an hour and a half. Oh, my gosh. You having fun yet?
I couldn't remember the type of motion that was. Sorry, proper.
It's a privilege for
me.
Yeah, I had heard I voted on not him. I thought we voted on whether to make it a full time.
Yeah, thank you for your comment.
Well, it wasn't a public vote.
It was?
No. No, it was a vote.
I'm locked out of my work computer.
Yeah,
I actually don't know my schedule.
Part of it,
our network crashed and my smartphone.
Oh, no, I know you're not. It's been a while. We're going to try it.
I was worried about the weather tonight. All morning, I was like, oh man, this is not a first cancellation.
What I was telling you,
I did not stay here. I normally, once there's a lot of people there, I don't like to be going. But yeah, not part of our.
The way that, so I felt like I would have been up on the grass in the noon,
NCO providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY19. We introduced this last month.
Mr. Mayor, I move to, I guess, well,
Adopt. I move to adopt. It's a public hearing. I move to adopt FY19-27 NCO, providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY19.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve FY19-27 NCO, providing for the amendment of department budgets for FY19. Any members of the public wish to comment on this particular NCO? Seeing none, the motion is now on the table for discussion and debate. See them. Aaron made the motion. Do you wish to discuss it? Okay.
Could the treasurer just remind us exactly a summary of this, what we're doing here?
This is
for some of the audience probably don't know about it.
This is the NCO to help close out FY19 with the actuals that were spent versus what we had budgeted earlier on in the year. So just moving money between categories. We try to keep your actual and your budget within about 10% of each other.
It also officially accepts our liquor share tax, correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Okay, any other questions? Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Council Member Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Council Member Jake Olson?
Yes.
Council Member Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Caspa?
Yes.
Council Member Cannamore?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Council Member Cook?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Next item C, fiscal year 19-28 NCO, providing for the roadside brusher sale. We introduced this last month.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, make sure I got this one. May I move to approve FY19-28 NCO, providing for the roadside brusher sale?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve FY19-28 NCO, providing for the roadside brusher sale. Does anybody in the public wish to comment on this NCO? No. It's now on our table for debate and discussion. Any debate or discussion? Just for the members of the public who are interested, this is basically we're going to sell our roadside brusher. I think there's a minimum bid up there of $3,000. So, we'll see what happens. Who wants it?
Who wants it?
Replacing it or just getting out of that business?
Yeah, go ahead. You can ask.
I can.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I support this. We have used it very little in recent years, and it's not totally without value, and there are some possible brushing projects we can do with it if the diameter of the stuff we are brushing is small, but for the most part we are contracting brushing to the road maintenance contractor who has a Bobcat with a much more modern arrangement on it, We, in discussions with the contractor, we felt that if we could get $3,000 or more for it, it was, you know, we can put that $3,000 to other road maintenance work. But if the bid's less than that, then we probably would occasionally have enough use to make it work.
Okay.
Just one quick question for Mike, I guess. So we have the minimum bid is $3,000, and also the estimated value as $3,000. Is that normally how we list it?
We haven't done that yet. I might have to defer to our city administrator on that wording there. But
I don't know if there's harm in it, but I just yeah. It's first I've seen it.
They're all, you know, something like this is worth what somebody's willing to pay for.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so it's hard to say.
And that was part of the discussion at the work session. It's of value to us to to get rid of it because it becomes a liability if we're not maintaining it. It contains oil, stuff like that. But to someone else, it's probably worth even more than that. So we could use
$3,000 or so for,
sure,
you know, for other road maintenance work. It would go back. That money came out of the encumbered, the forest receipts funding when we originally bought it.
Okay.
So the money would have to go back to that encumbered account for use in road maintenance.
Okay. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Vice Chair Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Caspett?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, next item, FY1929 NCO, providing for the amendment of the road maintenance budget for FY19, introduced last month.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I'd like to move to adopt FY19-29 NCO, providing for the amendment of the road maintenance budget and the city held accounts in fiscal year 2019. Note that this takes on board the forest receipts funding that we just received and allows it to be used in the budget rather than taking money out of our encumbered funds as was originally done.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve FY1929 NCO, providing for the amendment of the road maintenance budget for FY19. Is there any public comment on this? Okay. As Mike said, this basically rolls in our National Forest receipts into our program so that we can use them. Any other council discussion or debate? If not, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Vice Chair Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Caspett?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. We're on to item E, FY19-26 amendments to Title III and our personnel sections.
Mr. Mayor, I move to make a motion to approve FY19-26, the amendment to Title III personnel that was introduced on May 13th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the proposed amendments to Title III personnel as displayed on the screen and as well as materials provided to council. This is a time for us to take public comment. Is there any public comment on these changes to Title III personnel? No public comment. There's no public comment, so now it's on the table for discussion and debate. I would ask the council has any additional discussion or debate topics we would like to talk about on this one. Okay, Susan.
Mr. Mayor, I do have three amendments to offer when the time comes.
I think we all saw those today. Last few days.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll start with your first one.
Okay, item 8E, number one. I move to define part-time employment and establish minimum qualifications for benefit eligibility. I move that...
Okay.
Can you do the other 8E, the first one?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
There you go. Yep.
There.
Thank you.
Yep.
That one.
I move that we amend Title III personnel to define part-time positions. With the text, a regular part-time position is defined as 35 or less hours per week, or less than 1,800.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm I have a question of germaneness of the amendment. What has been noticed to the public has been changes in our social media guide and other direction to personnel. We didn't really notice to the public that we're going to be talking about a change in part-time employment means, or what, or who's eligible for health insurance. The public had no knowledge that we were going to discuss that or make any changes to that. I suggest that if you are interested in doing something like this, that that it be done through the regular process of publishing a proposed change, getting public comment, the 30-day notice, and then having a public hearing on those changes. I easily could have done something similar for my concern about PTO for employees at this meeting and easily done the same thing, but I chose not to because I want to make sure that a proposal like that goes through the proper public process. To me, this is not really germane to the issue at hand of what we're actually discussing about strikeouts and adding in the title. Now, if the council wishes to overrule me, they can, but I'm going to rule that one out of order.
May I respond?
Go ahead.
I didn't even see a clean copy of Title III until Thursday. So I didn't catch that our existing Title III document defines a part-time position as anything less than 40 hours a week. So in my mind, it's that, you know, there's a weakness in our personnel description, and I thought we were supposed to be editing Title III so that we could then vote on it. But I can't edit a document I don't see. And so if what you're saying is that changing our definition of part-time employment to be 35 hours or less, and also defining a threshold in part-time employment like the state and the federal government do for when qualification of benefits, are our policy that we passed last month on benefits simply states that all qualified employees will get health benefits, but it doesn't say what qualification means. It's not defined, and it's not defined here. So I'm simply attempting to clarify our definition of employment categories and definitions. If that's out of order, I guess I would appreciate getting some counsel on how this might be addressed.
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think you make a very good point, and I agree that it is something that should be proposed when the ordinance is published in the first place, because it's not a small change. And so although I don't know that whether calling it out of order is appropriate, it may fail for lack of a second, or maybe somebody could move to table it. But I think it would be worthwhile to bring it up as a new proposal, say next month, to publish as a change. I'm not sure that I agree with changing it from 40. I mean, that's what we've had for a long time, and it went through a lot of thought when that was originally designed. But I would like to think about it more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe the work session first, and then a new proposal for the public where it would be appropriate.
I have a question of process. So if we did adopt these changes to Title III today, and then we're thinking of looking at doing more changes in a future month, does it make sense for us to postpone the changes tonight, since it is ordinance and has to be codified and everything, or can we wait to codify it once we have made all the changes?
I was going to say almost exactly what Mike said as far as as I think that should be the process. You know, introduce it as a new ordinance change, take it to the work session process, introduce it so the public can catch it. And then to answer Aaron's question, I think we've got, what, 90 days or something to put it in code? We can put those two things in code at once if we have a difference that comes 2 months from now and one from tonight. And that way we can still move on the one tonight. That's just my kind of suggestion on how it could work.
Okay, I almost followed that. Mr. Mayor, could I simply ask a point of order?
Sure.
So what you're suggesting is that we approve Title III, this document that we have in front of us tonight, but that we make a motion and then table it for the next work session to consider more thoroughly defining part-time and going through a public process for that? Is that what you said?
Since I made that suggestion initially, and it wasn't probably very clear, what I said was your amendment, it hasn't been seconded yet, and it could fail for lack of a second.
Mm-hmm.
If it was seconded and went to discussion, then somebody could move to table, or it could be voted down.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, but I ruled it out of order, not germane to the point, and I'm allowed to do that as mayor through Robert's rules. I can rule that something is not germane to our discussion. We have noticed our changes at Title III in regards to social media and what our employees are expected to do in relation to the use of social media. We did not notice any changes to definitions of part-time employment, definitions of when you will not be eligible for our health benefits program. Those kind of things have to be noticed, have to have public hearing on, and that is the reason I ruled it out of order. The council can overrule me on that, and she can get her second, but the council has to have a majority to overrule me. This is where we're at.
Yeah, I don't think any of us disagree with your thought rationale there. It's mm-hmm. just whether I don't know that we've ever used or had a situation where a mayor suggested that a proposed amendment was not germane, and we went through that. Maybe that is something that can be done. I'm just not aware of that. So, but otherwise, I'm saying I think we all agree with your basic rationale there.
Well, I was trying to save a step.
Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm.
just so it seems to me that if the proposer was amenable, that the thing to do would be to, I guess I don't know how to deal with the out of order thing, but to just bring it to the next work session that you're going to propose these, and then we'll go on the next agenda to be voted on. Is that correct?
That's what I'm direct. That's
yeah.
what I'm.
Okay. So nothing. Okay.
So one more question. Point of order. I can see that with the first two about defining part-time, but the third one is I thought I was given the direction to define in social media personal use and put it in Title III. So does this need to be noted as well?
That would be germane to the point because you are talking about social media, and we did notice social media.
We don't deal with this one.
So that is germane.
So still, that is that. Just so it's just these two.
The two that dealing with
part time,
and uh-huh. when uh-huh. insurance, health insurance is provided, I believe they need to be put off.
So
you're welcome to provide one if it's related to social media, because that's what we're talking about.
Okay. So I will bring these to the next work meeting. Okay. And it fails by being...
There's no second.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's no second anyway. Okay, so we could just say it fails by that, or however the mayor wants to do it. So, Mr. Mayor, I have another motion to make.
Okay.
This one is on, we had talked about where in social media policy versus in Title III we should talk about personal use. And I had suggested in our previous work meeting that we use the phrasing from the federal government about how they refer to personal use. And Councilwoman Olson had asked about, do we need to define personal use of telephones in a previous work session. And so this is my attempt to copy the federal wording on personal use of telephones. And also, I thought it germane to include the federal government's statement of there's no privacy through email, because I've been told that as a council member for city resources as well, and I thought it might be useful to have that in our policy as well, since it is our policy. It must be occur somewhere. Yes, Mike? Your anything you do on the computer can be used in a legal proceeding. At least I've been told that a couple of times. So anyway, this is my attempt at email. So, Mr. Mayor, I would like to make a motion to add a second and third paragraph to the Title III section on 3.08.040 that says the following. Telephones and the paragraph regarding email.
That's under solicitation?
No. Let's see.
It should be 3.08.050.
Oh, did I?
050.
I believe.
There is a section.
Titled Computer, Email, Internet.
Yep, that one.
Okay, so it's 050.
050? Okay, sorry. Yes. You found it.
Well, 225 of 271.
Yep. 225. Oh, I'm into the.
There we go.
Do you want me to have her put it up on the screen, or do you want to keep your amendment on the screen?
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. She wants us to add
those two
paragraphs to the end of the 0.50. I guess that's, we have to make sure that's.
So currently, the changes of 0.050, the last paragraph ends with violations of this section shall be a cause for disciplinary, God, I can't read, disciplinary action up to and including termination. So,
no.
It would be a new second paragraph.
Okay, thank you. After services, let's see, telephone or similar devices shall be limited to city business only. And then have this new paragraph that you have in print in front of you, and then the paragraph about email, and then the paragraph about social media for that section. Was there ever a second?
I didn't hear one yet.
I'll second.
Did you get that second by Cheryl?
Yes, thank you.
Any discussion? Comment? Aaron?
You're saying it goes, this new part goes after that first sentence?
After the first paragraph. That starts section 308050, all use of city computers, blah, blah, telephones, blah, blah. Or devices or services shall be limited to city business only. And then city employees may use government property only as authorized. Employees may occasionally use city landline telephones, blah, blah, blah.
So I think those two are in conflict with each other. The first, for the existing paragraph, says you may not, as a city employee, use anything for personal use. And then this new paragraph says they could if and
you know, if you're complying with these other things. So
it's the exception to the not.
Then the first paragraph has to be edited as such.
Mr. Mayor? Yeah, I agree with that, and I think we could just add to the first sentence a comma, except as authorized, and then everything would be bridged.
Okay.
And I can offer that amendment whenever it's the right time.
Well, we have to dispose of this one first, so...
Or should I amend this motion?
Could you do a friendly amendment?
Yeah, it seems like it cleans up the...
Okay, so
we're proposing that the services shall be limited to city business only, comma, except where authorized.
Correct.
And then it starts in city employees may use government property only.
Okay, I understand that. Okay. Is that clear to you?
I can get it to you if you need.
Okay.
Only as authorized, comma, what?
Then it should actually the first
it's in the original. Okay. It's in which you don't have.
Right. Okay.
So the first sentence gets an extra comma and then except as authorized.
Then a new paragraph two, a new paragraph three, and the social meeting.
Okay.
Did that sort it out?
Yep.
So that's the friendly amended motion. Does that need to be seconded again?
Consent
of the second.
I'll second
that one too.
No, as long as she consents.
I consent.
Okay.
Cool.
Thanks.
I have a question. The second paragraph where you say, second line toward the end, the city may, first sentence of the last paragraph where it says city of Gustavus email may become an official record. Is that still in the amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So once city business is discussed on an email, it does become. So I would suggest we change the word may to will.
Is that okay with the motion maker and the seconder?
I think that she's getting at that if we're doing personal email on our computer, that's also could be official because it's on a public computer. Isn't that what you were trying to, that's what she was explained to me earlier today.
Yeah.
Oh, that I understood.
Anything we're doing on this public computer can be
okay.
Taken.
Okay, yeah. I would reverse like
the same question.
Any
sorry.
Email
thanks.
On a city of Gustavus
system.
Okay.
May, okay.
Yeah.
Any email, okay. Okay, so.
Yeah,
question.
Okay.
May is okay.
Mr. Mayor, I guess I still question that, but it's talking about it's important to know any email on the city of Gustavus email system. So the city of Gustavus email system is not talking about personal email.
Computer system, really.
Yeah. Or maybe any city of Gustavus device or. You know, that the city of Gustavus email system does not include Yahoo or Gmail or whatever.
The city of Gustavus email system means if you're on a personal computer and you send an email, you're sending it over to the city of Gustavus email system. If you're on your work computer and you send an email, you're sending it over the city of Gustavus email system. That's the way I address it.
Okay. Even if it's a personal email? I mean, you consider
Gmail
that a city of Gustavus email system?
If you're doing it from your city laptop.
Even if I'm on Google Chrome or whatever, not city of Gustavus.
You can
pull
up your Gmail account.
I guess it's just a definition.
That's why it says system.
Yeah.
I just have a question. Are council members, city employees, but this, for the purposes of this, I don't know that the council members are actually covered by this. Should be.
Yeah, I think we're covered elsewhere in Title
2, is it? Or
maybe.
I think we're covered under the Open Meetings Act and everything else. And it's the same sort of language.
So does that mean it's not needed here? Sorry.
Nope.
This is for HR purposes here. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Guess we're covered elsewhere on this.
Yep.
I'm still trying to get some clarification. So are we saying that if you're using the City of Gustavus work email system and you're sending out communication, personal or otherwise, if it's going out on the City of Gustavus email system, it is a city record. It is an official record. So am I misreading this or misunderstanding it?
Mr. Mayor, I think it's a misunderstanding for all of us that it says email system, like Aaron pointed out. Even though technically it may be considered that, I think it would be clarifying language if it said something maybe like it is important to note that any email on any City of Gustavus computer
device,
that was it, may become an official record because that just makes it clearer to everyone, I think. I don't know if that's true.
Well, it won't may, it will be a will. It's a city device. You're doing
true.
Communication, it is an official record.
So.
Well, this may be a fine point, but it seems to me if you use the browser to pull up Gmail, your Gmail account or something like that, and do an email on your personal Gmail account via the internet, it's not going to be a city record because it's not gone through our Outlook.
Yeah, you're right. As long as it's not city business.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think we'd have any reason to do that, or most people would, because they use their own phone or whatever for that. But
I think they're trying to get after telling employees that if you use a device or any piece of technology in the email network of the city, it's subject to seizure. I think that's what they're trying to say, you know. So if you pull up Chrome, go to Gmail, do a personal email, that personal email, you have no privacy, and it is subject to seizure. That's what they're trying to be able to explain to an employee.
I just wondered how they find that.
Well, they have
they have to get into your personal. It lives out in the ether, cyberspace.
Well, actually,
live on the computer.
I believe that that's where the word may actually fits in.
That's
it's not going to necessarily. It won't become an official record, but it may.
Yeah.
And so I think
is a perfectly good
I think
word
that
there.
perhaps the amendment maker might change the word email system. Words email system to device, and the consent of the second would be forthcoming.
Mr. Mayor,
uh-huh.
And make a friendly amendment to say City of Gustavus device or email system. No? You want device is what makes sense to you? Or,
because you already see email.
That's fine.
Okay, I'll change it to device. Madam Treasurer, if I could change that amendment to any email on any City of Gustavus device may become an official one.
Second.
Consent.
Oh, okay.
City of Gustavus device. Okay.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Any other further discussion on this amendment? Okay. Are we ready for a vote? It looks like we are. Can we have a roll call on the amendment, please?
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapet?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
The amendment passes 7-0.
Okay. We now have a main motion before us as amended with these changes. Is there any other further discussion on Title 3 as it pertains to our city use of social media?
Point of order, this amendment, main motion on our agenda tonight is not only making changes to this section of Title 3. There's actually other changes to Title 3 that we're
right
now as well.
Yeah, there were some other up above, there was some other things there too, I think.
There's changes to the grievance, not the grievance part, section,
yeah,
but
it just says,
the employee evaluation.
Right. That one there with performance evaluations shall not be subject to the grievance,
yeah,
procedure.
And
there's some little underlined additions there too. So.
Yeah, there's a whole paragraph actually in there where it's read that actually is new. There's only one line that's read, but in fact there's a whole paragraph that's new.
Can you identify that paragraph?
It's
the one that starts in red.
Yeah.
The B, that's with a slash on the side. That whole H is,
yes,
yeah. Somehow that didn't follow through to the whole highlighting.
And additionally, just for the public knowledge, that wording, though, the red part that says it's a big change, that wording was already in there. We've just moved it from one place to another. So it's not a change to add that. It's just moving. And then the paragraph that follows the red part is an entirely new paragraph.
New paragraph I?
H.
Oh. Everything else.
Yeah, we're talking about H already.
Everybody clear on that? Okay. Any other discussion? Looks like we're ready for a question on the main motion.
Mayor Caspit?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
The amended motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Now we're on to 9A, a resolution establishing an advisory committee to address the long-term sustainability of the Gustavus Preschool and Child Care Services.
Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm.
I would like to propose that we approve CY19-10. The resolution establishing an advisory committee to address the long-term sustainability of the Gustavus Preschool and Child Care Services.
Second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution CY19-10, establishing an advisory committee to address the long-term sustainability of the Gustavus Preschool and Child Care Services. Is there any public comment on this?
I've been advised to withhold my comments for another time. You wanted to read it, and I
no public comment.
Did John have a comment?
He just said he was
trying to print. Side to withhold.
Page 230.
If I'll give you a few seconds to read it, if you
want. No. The advice I received is from my boss.
Oh. It has been clear that there is no public comment.
None to speak of.
It's now before the council for deliberation and debate. Any council comments? Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, I have a couple of minor amendments to offer. They were offered on the May 13th general session and also on the June 3rd work session to change the wording slightly, but we got rid of the words, but we kept the articles. So that proposed amendment form that I turned in at the May 13th meeting had in the 1, 2, 3, fourth paragraph, delete the word the. And in, so it should say, whereas, comma, many citizens of Gustavus recognize, we have not polled the many yet, so I was suggesting we delete the until after the committee process goes. The other amendment I proposed was in the fifth whereas statement, the City of Gustavus has the opportunity to delete the and. My proposal was delete and responsibility, and the responsibility went away, but there's an orphaned article hanging out there. So here's the... Here's those two.
Thank you.
That's how they should read. That was proposed. So I think since we got rid of the other words, we could get rid of the articles as well.
The,
I don't think that is.
That second one, which and is in which paragraph?
Okay, the it would read, in the fifth whereas, the City of Gustavus has the opportunity to assume.
Yes.
There's an extra and article in there.
Where? Oh, I don't see it on our...
Yeah, it's not on our...
Maybe we have it. Maybe we have it.
I don't have it. I never get a clean copy of almost anything.
Oh,
to vote
it's on the computer. So,
yeah. I think we already have those.
If you look up there.
Do we have those?
It's
you
up.
Got rid of the and?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now it just says to assume.
But you're correct on the first one. The needs to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the. Right.
That's your motion. Did we get a second?
No.
I second.
Okay. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we even need the motion?
No.
I don't think it was
a typo.
It was a friendly edit, and I was just trying to keep track of that, and I thought I got done last time.
Scrivener's error.
Scrivener's error.
I learned a new one.
Okay.
So we're getting rid of that the.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not the many citizens. It's just many.
Yeah. Other than that, I have no comments.
So other than that Scrivener error,
I'll just point out the way that it was introduced, both of you read the title different from how it's showing. You read it ended and child care services, but it's written as and child care programs for Gustavus. So both of you read it and confirmed saying services, but that's not how it's written.
So that's how it's written on our notes.
So can that
I mean, that's the resolution we're reading on
the
paper.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'd just like to point out that when it says the very last paragraph, it says kind of the makeup of the committee. It says it may include the city administrator. It doesn't say it shall. So we've got flexibility in the assortment, and I think that's really important because in the past we've been really prescriptive in our committees, and all of a sudden one person drops out and we don't have the right mix. Mm-hmm. So it's an important may to keep track of for our future committees. So no edits.
No edits. Finally got it.
Okay. Are we ready for a vote? Okay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
No, she's recused.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Caspit?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
That motion passes 6-0.
Okay. New business. We're on to new business. 10A, FY19, Title 10, property, this is only introducing, by the way, introducing FY19-30, Title 10, Property Acquisition, Disposal, Management, and Use, Sections 10.07.010, Fines.
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce FY19-30, Title 10, Property Acquisition, Disposal, Management, and Use, Section 10.07.010. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to publish FY19-30, Title 10, Property Acquisition, Disposal, Management, and Use, Sections 10.07.010. Is there any public comment on this? No public comment. It's
now before the council for discussion and debate.
There was a note that came around from Tom to delete the pet and littering fines. Did you see that email? Do we want to float a motion to do that and pass it and give us the opportunity to have more discussion in the forthcoming work session? Or do we want to just introduce this as is and then go to the work session and talk about that some more?
It looks like Tom wants to say something. So
this afternoon I did talk to the city attorney. So I asked him the question about if we have it in the ordinance as a listed fine, if that then carries the authority as if it was in one of the sections like Mike was talking about in the work session. And he said it could be problematic. So typical response. And I think to be on the safe side, because it could very easily be a problem, and it does give us a little more time to think about if we really want to have a doggy patrol. If we struck it, I could go ahead and start working on getting the signs ordered, and then if we find that littering or pet waste is a problem, we can come back and add it. That's why what I suggested in the email that I sent around. The attorney did say, you know, it could go either way, but I think it would be prudent to be more conservative.
And that was to delete both littering and
the pet waste. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose an amendment.
Go ahead.
I would like to propose that we strike littering and failure to pick up after a pet.
Seconded.
It's been moved and seconded to strike littering and failure to pick up after a pet from the list of fines. Any discussion? Debate? Doesn't appear so. Can we have a roll call, please, on that?
That was Cheryl and Susan?
Cheryl. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cheryl moved it and Susan seconded.
Okay. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Caspit?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
The amendment passes 7-0.
Okay, now we have an amended motion removing pet waste and littering from the list of fines. Any other additional comments or debate? Doesn't appear so. Can we have a roll call vote on the main motion? And again, this is just to publish. So.
Mayor Caspit?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
The amended motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Rolling right along. Next on the agenda is a resolution, CY19-13, establishing a policy and procedure for city use of social media.
I move to adopt CY19-13, a resolution establishing policy and procedure for city use of social media.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve. We have to check on that number there.
That number is wrong.
Okay, it is 13.
It is 13.
Okay, it is 13. CY13, resolution establishing a policy and procedure for city use of social media. Public laugh.
We outlasted them.
any council debate or discussion on this? Go ahead, please.
And I do have an amendment to offer when it's the appropriate time.
Any other comment? Go ahead, Steven. I don't, or did you?
I just got a quick question, and Aaron probably knows this off the top of her head. So, and I'm not finding it in here. Somewhere towards the end of the procedure part, I guess it would be, it listed the attachments as the one was a policy, one was a form, something else. Do we have anything in mind for a policy, or can we call the guide plus this the policy? I'm wondering if that's already done, or did you have something different in mind?
Well, I wasn't sure if we would be. Oh, can I respond?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Sure, we would be approving both. I mean, there's policy. The policy and procedure is the first part, and then where it says guide, I wasn't sure if that we would be approving that now. I mean, I don't think it has to be approved by resolution. If I'm correct about that, it's more of a. So we've got this policy and procedure. This guide is really just supposed to help employees. Comply with that policy and procedure.
Okay.
So, that answers your question.
That's close enough for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
And I guess I would have seen it a little differently in that the policies and procedures are themselves guides or guidance to the staff. They're not the law, they're just how we do things. And including, I would see the social media guide as it should be considered part of the policy and procedure, you know, as an attachment. I don't know if we said something to that effect in the resolution, but it could be added, I guess.
It's because we published that we're putting the whole thing out there. I think that that can just be part of the policy procedure.
I think so. I think it should just be attached to the policy and procedure, and it's all the same.
If I may, it does say right here that we adopt the social media use policy and procedures as attached. So, I mean.
That's what we call that.
Yeah. Seems like the guide is part of that.
Okay. Susan?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move that we revise the last sentence of the professional use section so that starts on the first page and continues into the second. So I'm proposing we revise the last sentence in that section to read as follows. And basically, this is language that lays out distinguishing as I was talking about at the work meeting between more socially oriented non-political city sites such as the fire hall and the library and more political official government site that also provides a secure back channel via the city clerk, as we talked about with the city clerk and in addressing the purpose of social media on the government participation side. Maybe we take advantage of a back channel that could ensure that citizen comments come back to the council and are archived appropriately. So this is the language to spell that out.
I just need a minute. This came out when I was at work today, so I haven't had a chance to, I don't quite understand the amendment, so I don't know if we could take a minute. That it was a motion of something?
I could actually.
Well, there's, it's been moved, I don't have a second.
I'll second.
Okay, now we can discuss.
I could use another break.
Okay, let's, we got a half an hour.
Yep. And quick.
ready, I guess. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. Go ahead,
Ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the first part, the first paragraph and most of the second paragraph. The part about making it clear that comments will be routed to the city clerk to be reviewed for publication approval and then directed to the city council. Is your intention there to not even approve those comments until the clerk has approved them? That wasn't very clear.
May I respond?
Yeah, the intention is that the city clerk is the moderator. So the city clerk sees the comment and moderates it. And if it's approved by the city clerk, then it's forwarded to the city council members. See what I'm saying?
So then I think that this let me see if I can put this. This whole policy and procedure is for any city site, and this specifically is only applying to a potential future city hall site. So it would need to be clear that that's what it's getting at, and it's not right now. It's just going under professional use, that would. It makes me, reading it as it is, I think that if the library wanted to do something, it would, or maybe you're saying that it would require this same process, that the clerk would be moderating all city sites.
Just the ones that are classified as the politically oriented official site. So I tried to enumerate example content of what that might be. So more socially oriented sites like the library and the fire hall, they're moderated by their administrators. All the I believe it says in your policy somewhere else that comments are moderated, right? And in discussion with the librarian about their social media site, she said that they post nonprofit content, news and events. Yeah. So that's okay to moderate, but it should be our information officer who's moderating things that would occur in Muni Code,
okay.
Such as somewhere in there I've got the examples, budget processes, meeting minutes, business of the city, and political actions taken by the city are examples of things that are politically oriented. But it seems to me that if the purpose of social media is to try to grow citizen participation in governance, then having some kind of appropriately moderated back channel to get citizen comments to the city council members is really in our interest to pursue. And that's how we take advantage of having social media sites. If you agree that the purpose of the social media site is to, you know, increase citizen information about what the city is doing, what's scheduled for a hearing when, and all that kind of stuff, and to increase citizen participation in decisions of governance, then there needs to be a back channel. And I know that, you know, our clerk had some real concerns about how that back channel, and I think Tom did too, about how that back channel would be set up. And the clerk told me that she thought that routing comments through her email would be the way that she could do that, because she's already using her email in an archived and appropriate way in terms of appropriate use of government information. So I'm trying to set up a mechanism for being able to have the return channel in that. And it would be a different return channel than the library, the fire hall, or DRC, or any other city social site that does. Does that make sense? That's what I'm trying to do.
Can I respond? I think I understand. I'm just having a hard time with this paragraph, I think. I am not sure I have an edit to it, but it wasn't clear to me I guess it's not clear to me what they need to do. And maybe that would go in the guide, exactly how they would...
They would just respond on the social media site. But that response would be routed to the city clerk's email.
Okay.
And then from there, the city clerk would distribute it as the city clerk does and makes decisions about what's appropriate and, you know, all that kind of stuff and how it's archived. Would it make it more clear if there was a new paragraph about halfway down the sentence, after preserve the accuracy and integrity of government information, new paragraph, if public comment is allowed on the official government site, it will be moderated in a special way, or it would be moderated in a particular way. And then it goes on to articulate that it's basically moderating and routing.
So I kind of feel like this goes into, you know, anytime we someone wants a new site, a social media site,
mm-hmm.
It's up to the administrator to say, the city administrator to say who the site administrators are, and also to outline any of that. So I think that could go in the approval for that specific site, rather than to all for the whole policy and procedure.
Well, see, I was putting it in procedure so that we wouldn't have to modify the approval form for the site. So I was trying to deal with it there.
You know, there's this two-way conversation going back between you two, and I keep seeing Mike want to get in comment in edgewise, and I'm trying to be fair to people here. So, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a very small thing here, but I just wondered if it would be better if you put this first paragraph deals with department sites, right? So if you just put on city department sites and get rid of this section here, and it says you're just doing non-politically oriented stuff on city department sites. That and then clearly we're going to have another official site that is for the political stuff, and that might make it more clear what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also mention, let's see, there was a usage. This week should be that for correct English usage, under American usage.
Okay.
Instead of which. Actually, the which in the next comma, in the next paragraph should be comma which instead of hyphen which. That is a correct place for which there, but that in the other one.
I think this is worth spending a little time with, because I think this is really important, that if we open the gates to do social media, we should be sure that we're doing it to accomplish our purposes.
I wonder, Mr. Mayor, if there's a way that we can, because it seems like, I don't know, but it seems to me like this is fine. I might word it a little differently as well, but that the information is there if we were to vote on it. See where it goes. Could it not be amended in the future after we've had more time to spend with it? Or I'm just thinking in the interest of time, we don't have a whole lot left tonight, and I'm not sure we can actually parse it out here. Because I know we've tabled this already once. Didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Talk
about it.
Postponed it. I don't know if that would be appropriate.
It sounded like I heard you call for the question, so I'm going to have the question called.
Perfect.
Unless you have...
Might I restate my amendment with these minor changes? We changed which to that,
so it should read...
Mm-hmm. I got that.
On, and we changed on city department social media sites. And we are changing...
And you can get rid of the parenthetical such as library and fire hall sites because they're
okay.
Obviously city department.
Okay, and delete the parenthetical such as the library and fire hall sites. And then one more to make it more clear, politically oriented content should be published to the official City of Gustavus government social media site. How about that? Would that make it even clearer that we're talking now specifically about the government site?
Yeah.
And making the... Yeah, does that sound good? Okay, with those few changes, could I change my amendment? Did you get those, Phoebe, or do you need me to write them out on this form?
I was thinking of getting them. Okay, so I have in the first paragraph, it's going to say City Department social media site. We're going to remove, we're going to change which to that. We're going to remove such as the library and fire hall site. In the second paragraph, it's going to be the official City of Gustavus government social media site.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be comma which instead of dash which.
The second, I think that's me.
Oh, I thought you were doing more.
And then when you're done with that, you can do a roll call.
Okay, this is a roll call on the amendment.
The amendment.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Mayor Kasket?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannonmore?
Yes.
The amendment passes 7-0.
Okay, we have an amended main motion before us to approve approving the resolution establishing the policy and procedure for city use for social media. Any other amendments or debate or discussion? Seeing none, let's have a roll call on the main motion then.
Councilmember Cannonmore?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Kasabit?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
The main motion is amended, passes 7-0.
Our next item up for discussion is item C, award the RFQ for FY20 and for road maintenance for FY20. Sorry.
Mr. Mayor, I move to award the annual road maintenance contract for FY20 to Glacier Bay Construction per their quotation for RFQ FY20-01RM.
Second.
It's been moved by Mike and seconded by Cheryl to award RFQ FY20-01 road maintenance for FY20. Any debate or discussion on the motion? No debate or discussion on the motion. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cannonmore?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Kasabit?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, item D, award managed IT service contract for FY20.
Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm.
I move for the award managed IT services contract for FY20.
It's been moved by Susan and seconded by, I'll call Aaron this time. I flip a coin.
Point of order, did you want to say who you're awarding it to? I think we're awarding the contract to somebody, to some firm.
Alaska, right? Technical Service.
That's why I stated Glacier Bay Construction in the previous.
Ah, okay. awarding to Alaska Technical Services.
Okay.
Technical portions, yeah.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to award the managed IT services contract for FY22.
Alaska Technical
Alaska
Services.
Technical
Services.
Solutions.
Solutions.
We don't have any debate or discussion, do we?
Could I just ask a question? Phoebe, this is awarding again the same basic contract, right?
In our FY, our RFQ from last year, we had language in it that this contract would be awarded again under the same RFQ.
Okay.
And that's what this is accomplishing.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Cannamore?
Yes.
Mayor Cassaput?
Yes.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
The motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Our last new business item is item E. CY19-14, updating the endowment fund application process.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we approve the resolution for revising the policy to the endowment fund grant award.
Okay, it's been moved by Cheryl and seconded by Brittany to update the endowment fund application process.
Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm.
may I make public comment on this?
Sure.
I just, as a previous awardee, so this is me as a public, not as a council member, as a previous awardee of the endowment fund, the section that changes so that you can only apply for or only receive the award for 3 consecutive years, if awardees had known this in the past, they may have applied for funds differently. And so for it to change this year, I guess there's a question too, whether it would be this year if they've had it for the last 3 years. Are they cut off for this year, or is this moving forward for 3 years? Because there is some concern for the rookery specifically, probably would not have applied for funding last year had we known that this was the case.
I've had the same question. Again, I kind of put this in because I've heard from other, from people that it's like, we just fall back. I'm giving, same people money, and they might as well be, a department or something. But I was curious about this year specifically since the whole process changed. So I'm not sure how to make that happen because I was thinking that this year would be exempt from that. It's actually in my mind. But that's just what I was thinking, but I don't know how to make that happen.
Has the rookery has only gotten funding for 2 years, right? You have for 3?
Yeah, okay.
Well,
it's not just the rookery. It's like, I think GCC's
gotten 3 years or 2?
This would be 3 at least. I don't actually know. I don't remember.
Yeah, probably is 3. Could I suggest that you could just make it that provision is effective with fiscal year 2020?
So just like a
2021 fiscal year applications for 2021 or calendar year 2020.
Right.
Because they're applying this year. They could apply this year,
right,
if you wanted to make it
right for application process.
Just make it so it wouldn't apply this year. It would apply beginning 2020,
right.
Calendar year 2020.
I think the proper way to handle that would be to make an amendment. And then
yeah, that's what I was just trying to form, because I actually have another amendment as well, so I'll include them both. So, if I may, I would like to make an amendment to
You can say effective for calendar year 2020. Just add that to that.
To that line, number nine, number five, under number nine, cannot receive an endowment fund grant award, whatever, more than three consecutive years, effective grant year 2020.
Or start out with effective grant year 2020. How about applicants may not receive?
Oh, that's better, actually, more clear. And so, number five.
I'm not looking at what you're looking at.
Yeah. So on
okay, under the eligibility requirements.
Yeah. Under yeah, number nine, eligibility for award.
Hold on. Where am I now?
Here. Oh, there's two number nines. Oh goodness.
Scribner's error.
Scribner's error.
Is what you have on the screen what you're looking at?
No.
Okay.
Though it will need to apply there as well. So if there's in the policy and procedure, so it's on page, right, so the resolution, so on page three of the, yeah, the next page, there
this one.
Yes. Number nine, the first number nine, so I have more than two amendments, now I have three. For number five, make it effective grant year 2020.
Applicant,
or...
we got a calendar year or fiscal year.
Okay.
Calendar year 2020.
So that would be December 2020. They'll apply in October of 2020 is what you're talking about.
Effective that. Yes,
applicants may not receive.
I'm like, what year is this? I forgot. Yeah, cannot receive. And does that?
Or may not apply. Because they may be receiving their funds from this year, next year.
Okay, so sorry, I need to clarification. What was that?
But, yeah, effective calendar year 2020, applicants may not receive an EFG award three consecutive years.
What he said.
More than three consecutive years.
Okay.
No, three consecutive years, not more than. Just plain. They can't.
Yep.
They can't have them three. Or do you want it?
I want it to be
more.
Than,
more
actually,
than. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. More than.
You can
okay,
have it for
yeah.
three, but that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
But thank
yeah.
you.
Okay.
I understand your
more
confusion.
More than three consecutive years.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then, in addition to that amendment, or would you rather have them one at a time, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Okay.
I know you're running out of time, but are you saying that the three consecutive years end all future eligibility?
No. Consecutive.
You know,
after that, they will have
consecutive years, so it's a
more
yeah.
than three consecutive years.
Yes.
Right. So you'd receive it for 3 years, then you wouldn't for one.
Yeah.
So you could continue to apply.
Well, I didn't read it that way. I read it as more than three consecutive years. So if you have it three consecutive years, you can't have it anymore.
Ever. Oh.
But
I don't think that's.
That was just probably my twisted feeling of it.
More than three consecutive years.
Okay.
More than 3 years without a gas. Let's do this. If it's unclear, I will do an amendment next time. But let's leave it with my current amendment. And if we need to clear it up, I'll do that next time. Or you guys can vote it down, whatever. So also under this eligibility for award, I would like it to say grants may be awarded to city departments, et cetera. No, that is not. This is under the next number nine. That's where I'm so sorry, baby.
Okay.
So under the next, it's under the endowment fund work group. The group will consist of at least three council members. It shouldn't say of three council members. It should say will consist of at least three council members. It's so tiny up there, I know. Yeah, it's that right there where your cursor is, just above there.
Okay. Of three. So that's the first sentence. Second sentence.
Second sentence. The group will consist of at least three council members. This
okay.
may be that the whole council wants to participate that year. I don't want to limit that.
Okay.
And then
to change something on the cover sheet.
Well, we need to change the numbering. We'll do that.
Yeah, and just the numbering. Yeah. Sorry about that.
And then we need to change something on the cover sheet to include it or to whatever that front page was. You said we were going to.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So that's on the next. So that's the actual application packet cover page, correct? That we would need to make that same change to number 5. It's highlighted there, actually. You can see that. That's why it's highlighted. I was like, we need to make a change in this. So it should be
effective calendar 2020. Yeah. Applicants may not receive an EFT award more than 3 consecutive years.
Correct. And that is my amendment.
Okay. I'll second all that. Second it.
Okay. I hope everybody was keeping track of all those.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I tried to get this looked at before, but.
Right. So I do have a comment or concern with the 3 consecutive year.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we should put a monetary cap where we're not capping people to get 3,000 a year and just say you can't get like 20,000 a year or something. I guess we never really discussed that. And I don't know if that was the intent or if we just want to say blanket because I don't know. I mean, it's either way, really. I guess I'm throwing that idea out there. I don't have an amendment, but I just want to make sure that that's considered.
Yeah. I guess if I may just.
I have to get.
Oh. 2 minutes.
I think we're not going to make. I need consent to go beyond 10 o'clock.
It's good.
Okay.
Everybody's okay?
Move to waive the rules. Is that what we.
Mm-hmm.
To extend beyond 10 p.m.
Yep.
Move
okay.
Waive the rules to extend
past 10 p.m.
Past 10.
And it looks like I have unanimous consent to do that.
Okay. So if I may quickly answer the question, or just what was my perception of it was that, again, if any applicant applies for 3 consecutive or gets awards for 3 consecutive years, it's almost like they're part of the city, sort of, and so that was my thinking. But I'm not tied to amounts didn't seem to make a difference.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
All right, are we ready to vote on the amendment? Looks like it. Okay. Roll call vote on the amendment, please.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Mayor Kasper?
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Cattamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Aaron Olson?
Recuse.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Councilmember Cook?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay, we have a main motion before us. Any other discussion on the main motion? Okay.
Just quickly, that it'll be a trial, you know, for this year. It'll be a test, so it can be changed. Thank you.
I just have a question on the last paragraph 14, unused funds. So if they're retained in the grant checking account, if they're under $1,000, are they available then for the next, are they just added into the what's available the next year, or
yeah. I think
that's part of the calculation.
You add what's available next year, or do you just not move $1,000 of the total approved the next year into the checking account? In other words, does that increase what's available the next year for the total grant by $1,000?
Yeah, there's 2 separate steps. So you have you do a calculation for what we can pull from
right.
the endowment fund, and then you add anything that's left over from
right.
the last
that's, year. Yeah, that's stuff. But if it's over $1,000, it just goes back into the principal of the endowment fund is the intent here. Right, and it's not anything over $1,000 is not. Or is it the total if it's over $1,000?
Is this a change? Or
no, this is not a change.
No, I'm just trying to get this.
This is in ordinance, actually, too.
Clarified. Is it, okay, say
if it's under $1,000, then it's clear. You put it into, you leave it in the checking account, and you're going to add, make it available the next year. If it's over $1,000, then the total amount is moved. Say you had $1,200 left over, then you move $1,200 into the endowment fund, or do you move only $200?
Oh, I would move $12.
So then there's nothing left.
Yeah,
for next year.
I don't know. I have to read it. I'm sorry. I don't have any of this in front of me. Unused grant fund. And redesignated as available for future awards. So we need to look at the calculation. It's not. This isn't addressing the calculation.
Yeah. That's at the very beginning.
Yeah, that'll say what you do with the money or not. Yeah, so go down. Got that part. That's the adjustment. Available. Unawarded, unexpended grant funds from previous years over $1,000, we return in dump fund account to earn interest for future awards. So
okay,
it doesn't look
so
to me like
so it is the amount over $1,000,
right.
Not the total amount. This suggests that it would you move the total amount, but maybe that's
it is it,
not
well,
that big a deal.
Yeah.
Really. So you're going to move. You're going to leave $1,000 in for the next year. If it, if you had $1,200 extra,
I would leave. I would
move $200. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, one more discussion point, just because.
The amount over. Yeah, you would move the amount that is over $1,000.
Right. Tom, you had put in your comments that we wanted it PDF format in emails, and Phoebe pointed out that we usually get three copies. Was it, I guess I don't, since we're talking about it, do we want physical copies or can we just deal with, since we all have computers, can we deal with them online? Is there any reason to make them, the grant applicants print three copies? Okay, so we'll leave it as is. Thank you.
Okay.
Are we ready for a vote on the main motion?
Oh, yeah.
Looks like it.
All right. Main motion as amended. Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit.
Yes.
Councilmember Jake Olson.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Warner.
Yes.
Councilmember Cannamore.
Yes.
Yes. Aaron Silvercue.
She's
Councilmember Cook.
Yes.
The motion passes 6-0.
Okay, on to City Council report. Is there any anything from council members for the good of the order? Okay, I have a mayor's report that's in your packet. You're free to read that. If you have any questions, I'll answer them, but otherwise, I want to go home. And I'm not going to restate anything in there. You guys can read it for yourselves. And then Aaron.
I'm going to, one other comment really quick is as you're going to purchase the signs for the beach finally, I would really like there to be care taken to make them as short and concise, just as concise as possible. The sign at the boat harbor, I feel like, has so many words. Like, I want to follow rules, but I look at that sign and I get super overwhelmed. I want, and not only that, but also at the beach, like, our whole reason for protecting the beach is to maintain the aesthetic of, you know, nature. And so whatever signs you end up getting, I would really like the care to be taken that they be as minimal as possible.
Concise.
Yes.
Well, you see what they look like. The only one that's going to be large is the fine sign. That'll probably be something, you know, so that it's visible.
So along those lines, you wouldn't even have to have numbers on there. You could simply say these are the rules. Yeah, and then they could look at the fines. Like, let them have to go and find out how much. There, it really just needs to say you can't do these things, and that would shorten it up quite a bit. Then you can make changes without having to buy a new sign as well, which might be good.
So the amounts were going to be changeable, but if we don't want to post amounts I think the amounts are a deterrent. You see $500 for not being on the beach, I think that gives you a second pause to whether you want to take that four-wheeler down there.
Were we going to post the fine? I thought the council didn't want to do that. Posting was my original suggestion, but I thought they didn't want to
post the fine. Yeah, we changed a lot of things, so I'm not quite sure if you have the amounts on there. Since we're not doing anything through the court, I don't think it really matters, and we'd be leaving blank.
State the stuff that we don't want to do for them.
Prohibited.
Yeah.
You'll say prohibited uses.
Okay.
Fines assessed. Ordinance law, something like that.
24-hour parking. That sort of thing. And then if we have to post fines later, if it looks like we're having problems, then we do it.
I bet we could find some good examples.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay, and then I'm officially resigning as of now. So you'll be getting my application for committee shortly.
Well, we wanted to, we have a little card and a little gift for you, for you, recognition of your service with us here on the council. And I really appreciate all your efforts and everything you've done here at the table and even out there. So I really appreciate you, and I thank you for your public service and committing to work. We hope to see you in the future.
Yeah,
we
you.
Will, I think.
Oh, yeah. You're not
every week.
And right back to all of you, I've thoroughly enjoyed working with each and every one of you. I'm really sad to be leaving this side of the City Hall, but I'll still be around.
Any other council comments? Okay. We don't have any public left here, so we don't have any comment on non-agenda items, and so we are adjourned. Thank you, folks.
10:09.
Not too bad.
I have things for you to sign.
Yeah. The special pen.
Special pen.
I got your email way late about water for the school.
Okay.
So the status on that is our numbers right now are showing that we've got 100% removal. It's not detectable. But we're not on a regular testing schedule with that. So when it's going to start being detectable, we're starting a project right now, one that's going to make it last way longer. So the deal is we've got filters that will burn out maybe after a year. We're not sure. They've only been in for a few months, so it should be a long time. We're putting in a system that will last like multiple years, and we can rotate it out so it's going to be seamless.
Okay.
So as like a pass-through from the school, you're welcome to collect water from Bartlett Cove if that makes you more comfortable, or just knowing that it's been tested in the last month as non-detectable.
Okay.
The water in the system now, whatever you're comfortable with.
And so how often are you checking it right now?
We